So on Davavam and Aleph, we began the sugya of Rav and Shmuel, and that's hopefully the sugya of Mavui Akum, and the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel about Mavui Akum, whether Rav is Torasuk Kimefula Shmuel or Matarasuk is Sasu, and that Machlokas, as we'll soon see, is going to impact on the machlokes between Rav Chanan and Rav Huna regarding a pirtza. How large of a pirtza is a pirtza? Whether it's 10 amos plus, according to Rav Chanan, or it's 4 tfachim, according to Rav Huna. So let's get back to the Machlokes, Rav, and Shmuel, so we can figure out how that impacts on the issue of the size of a pirtza. Rav says that Mavui Akum is Toroso Kimefulosh. And we had here a Machlokes between Rashi and the Rosh, which we want to summarize again, as to what Rav is saying about Toroso Kimefulosh. According to Rashi, what we're viewing here is that each Mavui is a Mavui unto itself, and it is considered Mefulosh, which means that it opens up into Rishus HaRav on both ends, on both sides. And therefore you need a Tzuras HaPesach. And Rashi says that the Tzuras HaPesach is going to be in the Mokom Akmimius, which means that it's at the end of both of these Mavuis, you know, that area, so to speak, which is almost, you could say, common to both Mavuis. And that's called Mokom Akmimius. So what you have is a Tzuras HaPesach, which is, you could say, at the end of each one of these mini Mavuis. And that's going to connect one wall on the left with the wall on the right, with two posts that are vertical, and one post on top, which is like a Korah, that is horizontal on top. In addition to that, a Mavui Mefulosh requires a lechi on the other side of the mavui. Right? There are two entrance ways, or exits if you want to call them, that connect Rishus HaRavim to this mavui mefulosh, because mavui mefulosh only has two walls. And you're going to need a Tzuras HaPesach at the end of one of those entrances, in other words, the borderline into Rishus HaRavim, and then you need a lechi on the other entrance. It comes out, therefore, according to Rashi's understanding of Rav, that in this case of a Mavui Akum, in effect what you're going to need is one Tzuras HaPesach and two lechis. One Tzuras HaPesach that serves both Mavuis, and a lechi at the end of each one of these two Mavuis, meaning the other end, if you follow me, the end that borders on or spills into Rishus HaRav. And the Bali Atosis point out that there's something paradoxical here, because a Mavui Mefulosh only requires one Tzuras HaPesach and one Lechi on each of the two ends. But in this case of a Mavui Akum, we're going to require one Tzuras HaPesach but two Lechis. And we pointed out that that's not something that should bother us, because if according to Rashi's understanding of Rav, each Mavui is a separate entity, then we understand that each Mavui needs its own lechi, so that one Tzuras HaPesach is not going to be, one Tzuras HaPesach plus one lechi is not going to be sufficient, because although that Tzuras HaPesach could serve in a dual capacity for both Mavuis, but nevertheless, each Mavui needs its own lechi. So we need a lechi here and a lechi there. Then Tosus asks the following question. Why is it that the Tzuras HaPesach is visible? He says the following, that no matter which mavu you're walking down, if I could use that term, you're going to see the Tzuras HaPesach at the end of the mavu. And if you have, let's say, a very long mavu, right? A very long mavu, one Tzuras HaPesach suffices. We're not going to say, well, you know what? I'm at the other end of the mavu. I'm so far away, I won't be able to see the Tzuras HaPesach. One Tzuras HaPesach for the mavu is sufficient. So that is the shita of Rashi in Rav. Then we mention the shita of the Rush, and how he understands Toroso Kimafulosh. And he says that you need a Tzuras HaPesach. One second. I'll just read to you the language of the Rosh. Yesh ala mavui din mavui mefulosh. Ah. In other words, the Rosh says all you need is one Tzuras HaPesach and one Lechi. However, according to the Rosh's understanding of Rav, this entire mavui, which bends, we'll say bends towards the left, I mean, depending upon what your picture looks like, but is one long mavui, and it's a mavui mefulash. And it has the identical din of a mavui mefulash, which means that you're going to need the Tzuras HaPesach at the end of the mavui, and you're going to need a lechi at the beginning of the mavui. And all you'll need at the end of the day is one Tzuras HaPesach and one Lechi. And herein lies the difference between Rashi's understanding of Rav and that of the Rosh. According to Rashi, you'll need two Lechis because you have two Mavuis. Each Mavui needs its own Lechi. And according to Rashi, the Tzuras HaPesach will be in that Mokom HaKmimimus, which is common, so to speak, to both mavuis. It's a Tzuras HaPesach that serves both mavuis. According to the Rosh, on the other hand, you have one long mavui mefulash, which happens to bend, and it's mefulash because it opens into Rishus HaRabim on both ends. You'll need a Tzuras HaPesach at one end and a lechi at the other end. Then we get to Shmuel. And Shmuel says, Toroso kisosum, which means that according to Shmuel, we view this as two mavos, but each mavui is sosum. Because again, if you walk down the mavui, you're going to hit up against the brick wall. If you go up to the mavui that we called north to south, you'll hit up a brick wall when you get to the end of the mavui. If you're looking at the mavui that goes from, we'll call it west to east, you're going to hit up against a brick wall. And in effect, you have three different ksalim, three different walls, for each one of these mavuis. So Shmuel's only going to require lechi at the beginning of one mavui and a lechi at the beginning of the other mavui, and that's it. There's no requirement of Tzuras HaPesach because it's a mavui sasum. Now, the last point that we made yesterday, which is going to be the main point for today, is that according to Shmuel, no matter how you slice the cake, there's always going to be a pirtza here. Because again, if I look at the north-south mavui, so then with regard to one kosel, it opens up into airspace, and it doesn't attach to the brick wall, as we called it, the sasum, the stima, right? So there's a pirtza. If you look at the south, you know, the west to east mavui, which again hits up against the brick wall, but on the other hand, that wall on its, in this case on the left side, I'm looking at this diagram at Siyur Dalet, that wall is open, so it has a pirtza. And the reason why that's going to be so relevant to us is because we're going to try to figure out what the size of that pirtza is, and whatever it is, it's apparently not considered a pirtza, because otherwise you would not be able to be matir the mavui, either of these two mavos, with a lechi. So the size of the pirtza now becomes critical, because we want to get back to our discussion, the controversy between Rav Chanin and Rav Huna regarding the size of a pirtza. So let's see how the Gemara develops. V'mayaskinon. What is the case of this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel? Ilema biyoser me eser. Eser means eser amos. So I'm going to read to you the Hebrew. He says, Ilem im nomar shenechleku b'mavui shemokom akmimuso hu rachav yoter mi eser amos. So again, we're always focusing our attention on that area at the end of each mavui, which is called a mokom akmimus. At the end of each mavui, you following me? And what is the size of that area? Now again, I'm not sure what the Gemara means. It could mean from the left wall over to the right wall. It could be from the left wall over to the wall on the other side. There are different ways of possibly calculating this Eser Amos. For the time being, let's assume he has a little bit of a written diagram here, where the Yoser Me Eser is that area. Not sure with the arrows here, it's a little bit unclear to me where the Eser Amos are. Let's see if you I mean, I would have turned the picture upside down here, right, because the L here goes this way, and in the diagram it goes that way. But in any event, so let's see if we would turn it upside down, so then the Yoser Meeser Amos, I think, would be, would be from, it's from this wall to that wall. Again, you're not seeing my finger, so in the picture it's not going to really help very much, but that's where the pirtza of more than 10 Amos is. So the Gemara asks the following question. If that open...
Are we talking about the diagonal between...
I don't think so. Again, maybe we'll have to see the Chazon Ish, because the Chazon Ish has his own take on this Gemara. But I'm just going to assume... How do I describe this to you? I mean, it's like very hard to put this in words if you can't see the same diagram that I have.
Can you put the book up?
Now, again, I could give it a try. I don't know if you'll be able to see it. Let's see if this would help at all. Okay, so we're looking at this diagram, which is called Sir Ches. I don't know. It's probably not going to help you much, but I think we're talking about the area from this wall all the way over to this wall.
Ah, okay.
So that, you know, I call this the bottom of the L, you know, meaning if this is the top part of your L going north and south, this is the bottom part of your L going east to west. And the wall on that side has an opening here at the Mokom HaKmimus of more than 10 Amos.
Okay.
Now, if that's the case, the Gemara says, Behal Lema Shmuel Toroso Kisasum. We ask this as a rhetorical question. could it possibly be, which obviously cannot be, that Shmuel would call this a sasum? Sasum means as if that wall continued until it hit that barrier wall, right? When I call it the barrier wall, I mean that third wall, right? Every mavui, in order to be sasum, has to hit up, the two walls have to hit up against a barrier wall. We'll call it the smaller wall, if you follow what I mean, the smaller kosel. But now, what happens is that one kosel is so distant from that barrier wall that there's eser amos, there's even more than 10 amos there in that distance. He says, v'chi bazeh, omar Shmuel shemokum akmimus nechshav kisosum? How can you call this area sosum? Bevada, he says, in this case, there's no question that kol amavui is, he calls it mefulash l'rishus harabim. Again, I'm not sure why he has to emphasize that it's mefulash l'rishus harabim. That kind of confuses me. But let me just read to you the English. He says, ilema biosemi eser, if you'll say that it's wider than what? Then 10 amos is Bahal lema Shmuel Toroso kisasim, which we'll say in this case that the bent mavli's law is that of a closed mavli. Surely when the bend is wider than 10 amos, the bent mavli must be viewed as one continuous mavli that curves. See, that's what also I have here in the Hebrew, that it's vadai, certainly that would be a mavui echo, which is mefula, shlushus harabim. And thus, it's an open mavui, right? It's a mavui mefulash. Let's see, as a footnote here, trying to see, I think it's number 16, I'm not sure, it's a little bit small for my eyes. Also, the printout is not absolutely clear, but I think it's number 16. No, just one second. Maybe it's number 14. Yeah, I think it's number 16. Let's just see if he adds anything that might help us in the footnote. He says, according to the alternative explanation above cited by Rashi, in the name of his teacher, Rashi explains Kumar's question is simply that the lechi at the bend is surely ineffective if the opening is wider than 10 amos. The lechi at the bend. Just one second. Now the funny thing is here, let's see, does he have a picture for Shmuel? One second. Oh. Uba'ofen acher, he says, Pirish b'shem moro azokin sheesh lakmimus ha-movui din movui sosum. Din movui sosum. Shekshem shem movui sosum nitar b'lechi. Kach tzorach lechi b'akmimuso. Shemulvada lechayayim shenosorim v'roshe ha-movi ha-ponim shusaram tzok sheyeh od lechi v'akmimus ha-movi tzir ches. So the picture I showed you before, which I tried to show you anyway, is a picture of Shmuel according to Mori HaZoken of Rashi, and that means you have to have three lechis, according to Shmuel. In addition to the lechi at the beginning of one mavui, another one at the beginning of the other mavui, you need a lechi for the makom akmimus. And he says, yesh lakmimus ha-mavui din mavui sasun. And it sounds like what he's saying is that this area with the overlap of the two mavuis is itself called a mavui sasum. And it itself needs a lechi. Again, if the pirtza, if the opening area is more than Eser Amos, is Lema Shmuel Toroso Kisosum. You see, what I think is going on here, it's hard for me to fit it into the words of the various translations that we have, which gets me a little bit nervous, but be that as it may, Ein L'dayin, a person has to say what he thinks is right. And I think what's right here is that you cannot set up two mavuis here unless you have, unless you have three walls, right? And one of these three walls has such a gigantic opening to it that it couldn't possibly be a wall. Because everybody agrees that if a pirtz is more than 10 amos, then it's not a mavli. In other words, that kosel, which has such a gigantic pirtz, cannot be one of the kosli amavli. Elo lav. So the Gemara is going to say now that when by process of elimination, in order to make sense out of Shmuel, it's got to be be'eser. Now it's the maximum space in that mokum akmimus, right? That's the overlap, the area between the two mavuis at the meeting of the two legs of the L, right? That mokum akmimus, in order to be a sasum, would have to be less than 10 amos. Well, now, if that's the case for Shmuel, then that has to be the case for Rav as well. Otherwise, Rav and Shmuel are not talking to each other. Ukama Rav, Toroso Kimefulosh. And yet Rav says that it's considered Mefulosh. In other words, the two Chelke Amavui, the two parts of the Mavui, Ki Iluhem Prutzim Zelazet, it's if they're open one into the other, so we see this as one long continuous Mavui, which Rav identifies as a Mavui Mefulash, because it's open into Rosh Hashanah on both ends, and that's why Rav requires the Tzuras HaPesach. Is afshel chol echad michelke amavui makom akmimus hu kipirtza mitzido. So as far as each one of these two legs of the mavui, the akmimus is going to be considered a pirtza, which means that according to Rav, I can no longer view each mavui as a separate mavui because of this pirtza, and the pirtza now is 10 amos, we say, because otherwise we couldn't make sense out of Shmuel. So apparently Rav holds that pirtza is what we call a pirtza hoseres es amavui, meaning the reason why Rav objects to Shmuel is because Rav apparently holds that once you have this pirtza of 10 amos, that's such a pirtza that you can't consider it as a separate mavui. Right? The whole thrust of what Rav is saying here, Torasa Kimifulash, is that I cannot divide up this L into two different mavos, but rather I see it as one continuous mavui. And the reason why I can't set it up as a separate mavui, each one, respectively, is because of the pirtza. It's a pirtza ha-oseres. And we've just finished proving that this pirtza is 10 amos, or less than 10 amos, but not more than 10 amos. Alma, we see, this is what Rav Huna wants to derive from this machlokes, is that pirtzas mavui mitzido, that as far as Rav is concerned, when you have a pirtza of one of the two flanking walls, barba, meaning if 10 tefachim is already a pirtza, if 10 amos is a pirtza, then it means that 4 tefachim is a pirtza. Because again, we have nothing in between. It's either black or white, right? There's no gray area. If 10 amos is a pirtza, then 4 tvachim is a pirtza. And that's against Rav Chanan, who says that according to Rav, only if you have a pirtza that's more than 10 amos is it considered a pirtza. Here we see clearly that 10 amos is a pirtza, which means ipso facto that 4 tvachim is a pirtza, and that's the support for Rav Huna. And now at this point, the Gemara says, Rav Chanan bar Abba. In other words, how will Rav Chanan bar Abba deal with this objection? What would be his refutation? And he says, I'm going to read the Hebrew here. He says, Li'olam pirtzas mavui mitzido oseres rak biyoser mea eser amos. Now this is Rav Chanan Shita, that only if it's 10 amos plus is it called a pirtza on the tzad haoseres. The shiny hosom, but here the din of a mavui okum, where the pirtza is a pirtza haoseres, even though this pirtza is only 4 tfachim wide, and the reason for that is the kabaki bei rabim, because the many, many people go that way. That's called rabim holchim sham. And that's what's going to make this mavui, according to Rav, into a mavui mefulash. So again, according to all, shall we say, universal standards, given Rav Chanan Shita, of an opening of 4 tfachim would not be considered a pirtza. But in this particular case, because people walk up and down this mavui, which is called rabim bokimbo, that itself makes it into a mavui mefulash. And this despite the fact that what is normally not considered a pirtza, all of a sudden becomes a pirtza. I'm going to read to you the footnote here. He says, She'ein nechshav ha-movi kimefulash kishyesh pesach bitzido. You know, this kind of Pesach would not make it into a movi mefulash, except for the fact kisharabim holchim sham. Nimtza, shemashal Rav Chanin bar Rava, pirtza sharabim holchim ba oseres bi arba. Now, it's both Rav Huna and Rav Chanin are agreeing in the context of Rav that a pirtza of 4 tvachim is oseres, but for two different reasons. Taima shel Rav Huna, the reason for Rav Huna is because he holds that a pirtza of 4 tvachim is considered chashuv. That's enough for a pirtza to have a certain chashivas to it. Whereas Rav Chanin is saying that you need a rabim holchimba to make this into a mavi mefulash, and the rabim holchimba means as long as the rabim go through an area that's open for tfachim. So again, if we ask ourselves the question, why does Rav require a tzuras ha-pesach in the case of this mavui, mavui akum, is it because A, the way Rav Huna would understand it, that pirtza alatzad oseres be'arbat fachim, or is it because of the special factor here called rabim bokimbo, which is the way that Rav Chanan will understand Rav? Now he asks Akashi here, Haritosis kosvu shetamo sherav huna shesovish et pirtza mitzido hi biarbot fochim hu mishum sheyesh chasha sheviyazvu bnei amovius ha-pesach ha-roshi v'yelchu bepirtza zu. Right, what do you have? You have an entrance into the mavui that's called Pesach Barosho, and now on the tzad you have a pirtza of 4 tfachim. So Tosfos explains that according to Rav Huna, people now coming out of their homes and spilling into this mavui have an alternative entrance into the Mavui. Why go all the way around to the Pesach HaMavui when they could simply go through this Pirtza? And that removes the shame Pesach HaMavui, where the Lechi or the Korah is going to be. He says, "Im kein kosha lo b'movui akum lo shayach hashash zeh sharei b'nei ha-movui nechnosim v'pesach hecha v'yotzim pesach sheni." This opening that we've been discussing here, the Makom HaKmimus, that in no way, you know, reduces or discourages the use of the Pesach HaMavui. They have no other way of getting into this Mavui except for the Pesach here or the Pesach there. "Im kein afil Rav Huna, b'movi okum lo tzarch lios pirtza b'arba tfachim." Now, Rav Huna reduces a pirtza to four tfachim because it becomes an alternative entrance, and it neutralizes the entrance b'rosh HaMavui. But that's not so in the case of Mavui Sasu. There's no alternative. You know, we're not opening up a new vein, a new artery of a Pesach. So he writes, "Ubir begon Yaakov shekevan shebechol hamuvuos oseres pirtza mitzido biarbot fachim is therefore lochilku chachamim." Ah, so we have a kind of a low pluk. In other words, once according to Rav Huna, four tfachim is a pirtza. In that case, then even in the case of mavui akum, it's going to be considered a pirtza. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. We're up to Michlal. And let's introduce the Gemara's Kasha now. Since we said that according to Rav Hanan, the Eser Amos allowance for a Pirtza is in a case of Ein Rabbi Mahalchim Shah, Michlal de Rav Huna. Rav Huna argues against Rav Hanan, Savar Afagav de lo bekiba Rabim, even though the Rabim are not going through this Pirtza, and we'll explain why, we would still say that if it's a Pirtza of four Tfachim, it undermines the status of the Mavui. So here, we're going to quote Rashi de Ramaskim Michalal, to explain what does the Gemara mean by Afagav de lo beki be rabim. So Rashi says, "Ein harabim holchim bepirtza, kigon sheporeitz lemakom shechofros shechafuros bo gumos, o sheyesh ba tit vechadome." Right, he has that also in the English translation, and he says, he says that Rav Hunu disputes Rav Hanan rule, Rav Hanan's rule would limit the size of a breach to four tfachim even when the public does not travel through the breach, which in the footnote he expands upon this. One second, what number is that? Number 20. Don, do you see it anywhere? It should be there, but right now. Right now, for some reason,
it's number 20, Rabbi.
20.
Yeah, Rav Hanan bar Rava and
Rav. Oh, uninvited. Oh, there it is. Uninviting areas, right? So let's underline those two words: uninviting areas. Okay. So what's uninviting areas? So that's what we saw in the Hebrew: shechafuros bogumos. Right. That in the soil, so to speak, they dug little ditches. Oshiesh tit vechadome. I think he has a picture of this on the next page, but I'm not going to look at it right now. So there's a pile of cement or so forth. So now we're talking about a case of lo beki be rabin, and yet we have our bot fachin, which is a shear of pirtza. And it's going to passel the mavui, even though at that particular pirtza people are not going to go in there because of the disturbances. It's an uninviting area. Not sure why he uses that phrase. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, now we have a question. Why Maishna min de Rabbi Ami v'Rav Asi? and I'm reading the Hebrew. Sha'amru li el daf hei shepirtza b'tzada movui poseles rak im hi lemala mi eser amos. And what's the Gemara's kasha here? Arata savra Gemara shel divrei Rav Huna pirtza b'movui mitzido seres be'arba tefachim amurim dafka b'yofen sha'rabim bokim sham. Right, as we said over and over again, that according to Rav Huna, once you have a pirtz on the side of four tefachim, people are going to go in there. That's an alternative entrance into the mavui. But now we're saying that according to Rav Huna, despite the fact that ain rabim bokim sham, it's still a separate din of a pirtz of four tefachim. Ve'ilu Rav Ami v'Rav Asi sha'amru shepirtzas mavui mitzido bi eser amos. Is dibru rak bi ofen she'ein harabim bokim sham. Just 1 second. So that now let's get to Rav Abi and Rav Asi. So we have a pirtza on the tzad, which if it's more than eser amos, it passels. And he says here, just 1 second, I lost my place for a minute. Ilu Rav Ami Vravasi Shaamu Shapirtas Moivitina Besser Amos Divru Rakba Ofen She'ein Harabim Bokim Sham. Ulam Ata Shemidubar Shemigdivre Rav Hanan Shnechlak Al Rav Huna Nizbar Sha'af She'ein Rabim Bokim Sham. So Rav Huna shepirtza mitzido seres b'arba tefachim kosha eich yavid Rav Huna es divrei Rav Ami v'Rav Asi shelo yachleku al dvarav. So again, he says a side breach may be up to 10 amos wide, right, as long as it's a pas of 4 tefachim. But the note here in the Masifti is trying to work this out with Rabin Bokimbo and not Rabin Bokimbo. It's 1 second, 22. Oh, he says, prior to the Gemara's assertion, Rav Huna disqualifies the side breach of Fort Fachim even when it is not traversed by the public. Right, it's an uninviting area. It could be assumed that Rav Huna's ruling did not contradict that of Rav Ami and Rav Asi. We could reconcile the two rulings by saying that Rav Huna, who disqualifies a breach of four tefachim, refers to where the public traverses the breach, and that's the reason why it disqualifies the mavui. Whereas Rav Ami and Rav Asi refer to where the public does not traverse the breach. But now that the Gemara has asserted that Rav Huna disqualifies a breach of four tefachim even when the public does not traverse the breach, how can we reconcile his ruling with that of Rav Ami and Rav Asi? Okay, that's good. So we're beginning to see that he quotes the Rajba here in footnote number 22. That's the same Rajba that we have here in the footnote number Chaf Aleph here in the Masifta. So the Gemara answers, Hasam, why is it that Rav Ami and Rav Asi will validate a mavui even though the pirtz is 10 amos? Is the Ika Gedude, right, that there's some part left from the kosel at a certain height? He calls it Gova Shlosha Arba Tefachim Al Pnei Kol HaPirtza. Now, how does he translate into English the word Gedude? Ridges.
Ridges.
So he has now these ridges, and they apparently span this area. He calls it in Hebrew Al Pnei Kol HaPirtza. And that's why it's not an alternative entryway into the mavui. Why? Because these ridges make it very uncomfortable to enter into the mavui through this pirtza, because the pirtza is completely bridged with these ridges, these gidudi. And that's why Just give me a second here to turn the page. And that's why the pirtza is not a pirtza seres if it's 10 amos, but only if it's more than 10 amos. So I have here tzir number Yud Aleph. Do you have that, Steve? Number Yud Aleph? Which is on the next page. And he shows you what these gedudim look like. So these gedudim are actually a block of bricks of the kosel, one on top of the other, at a height of, let's call it, 3 tvachim. That makes it very difficult and very uncomfortable to enter into the mavui through this pirtza. But hacha, just one split second. Aval hacha deleka gedude. But the case of Rav Huna, where he says that even a pirtza of 4 amos is a pirtza seres, which means it provides an alternative pesach, an entryway into the mavui. That's where there's no gedudim, which means that there's nothing left to the wall. In the place where it was breached, there's no shirayim of the wall. Yeah.
Are we still talking about the akum? We're still talking about the ben?
No. We're going back to Ravami and Ravasi. Ravami and Ravasi were of the opinion that if you have a pesach of a mavui, and then on the right side, when you get to the kosel, there's a breach. That breach is okay, and it doesn't disqualify the mavui, even if it's 10 amos long. And that's against Rav Huna, who says that any breach of 4 amos is enough to disqualify the mavui. But the answer is that Ravami and Ravasi are talking about a case of gedudi, whereas Rav Huna is talking about a case where it's completely open. And if it's completely open, flat down to the ground, if you follow me at that point to the pirtza, even though it's only 4 tvachim, that's enough of a makom chashuv to offer an alternative entryway into the mavui. And that undermines the status of the pesach hamavui, berosh hamavui. But Ravami and Ravasi are talking about a whole different set of circumstances in which there's a breach in the wall, but there are gedudi that go up, let's call it 3 tvachim from the ground. And in that case, it's very uncomfortable for the Rabbim to go through there and jump over these gedudi in order to get into the mavui. Instead, they're going to make that little extra turnaround and go through the Pesach Rosh HaMavui. So therefore, there's no contradiction here between Rav Huna on the one hand and Ravami and Ravasi on the other hand. And that, my friends, ends that sugya, which, frankly speaking, gives me, you know, a certain sigh of relief. It was for me, it was rough going, but let's see how we do in the next sugya. Tana Rabbanan. Ketzad mi'arvim derech rishus harabim. Now, if we read this Gemara literally, it sounds like the Gemara is saying something that's just impossible. We've been speaking about a tikkun mavui for a mavui that has three ksolim, which means that you basically come out of your houses into this mavui and you're in a rishus hayachid, which is surrounded by three mechitzos. But now the Gemara seems to assume that I could be going down a Rishus HaRabim and I'm going to make some sort of an Eruv and I'm going to mitaken it in such a way that I'm going to be allowed to carry it a Rishus HaRabim. So we'll go through the Brisa, but keep in mind that this Brisa on a, shall I say, a straightforward literal interpretation, makes no sense. Okay then? So the Braisa offers two answers. The first answer to this question of Ketzad Ma'arvin Derech Sarabim is the Tanakama. O Setzur Sapesch Mikan, Velechi Vikor Mikan. So all he needs is at one side of the Rosh Hasharabim, he makes a Tzuras HaPesach, and at the end of the Rosh Hasharabim, he puts up a Lechi. Now, what's going on over here? Where is this Tzuras HaPesach, and where is this Lechi? And for that, we need this picture, which is picture number 12, in which you have a line of houses on the right, a line of houses on the left, so you have houses that are facing each other, and in the middle between the two rows of houses is a Rosh Hasharabim, a public thoroughfare. So when you hit the first two houses, one on your right and one on the left, you put up a Tzuras HaPesach. And then when you get to the end of this row of houses, you put up a Lechi. And now you're allowed to carry from the houses into the Rosh Hasharabim. Again, that doesn't make much sense. I'm just saying the words here, but you're allowed to carry into a Rosh Hasharabim. I mean, honestly, you know, that sounds like a Malacha D'oraisa of Hotzah. Unless we're going to say that the Tzuras HaPesach now is the same as a Kosel. It's what we call an imaginary Mechitza. And then the facades of the homes on both sides of this Rosh Hasharabim form another Mechitza on each side. So you've got a Rosh Hasharabim now that's been cut off, so to speak, or surrounded by three mechitzos, by the Tzuras HaPesach entering into this area, by the kosel on your right and the kosel on the left. Again, you won't see that kosel. What you'll see is the facades of the various buildings, and maybe they form mechitzos. And that would make it into a classic mavui situation where all you need is a lechi. So the Tzuras HaPesach offers you a third mechitza. I'm just thinking out loud. Chananya Omer, and he records a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai Omrim, Ose Deles Mikan, Videles Mikan, Ukshiyotze Venichnas Noel. Ubeit Hillel Omrim, Ose Deles Mikan, Velechi Vekora Mikan. So once again, the diagrams here come to our rescue. We have a diagram on the right, which is called Tzir Yud Gimel, and that reflects the Shita of Beit Shammai. And basically, according to Beit Shammai, you need actual doors, one door on the right and one door on the left, as you go into this area that's between the rows of the two rows of homes. And you need another Deles at the end of this section of houses. So let's read Chananya in the name of Beit Shammai, is Deles Mikan V'Deles Mikan. Now he adds another stipulation, Kshu Yotze V'Nichnas, whether he goes in or out, Noel, he locks the door behind him. Now he has a side discussion here. Are you allowed to lock two doors when they form a mechitza? Because we don't allow the building, the construction of a mechitza on Shabbos. That's called Ohel, which is one of the 39 melachas on Shabbos. So that's a side issue here about why this is not a violation of Melechah Shabbos by constructing a mechitza. Okay, that's not our main focus here for today. Now, what is the size of the area? What is the width, let's say, of the area between the two rows of houses? So he says that's a minimum of 16 amos. You know, I'm thinking in my mind, again, this is not going to mean a thing to you, but Ocean Parkway, right? In Brooklyn, you have an avenue, how do you say in English, a shtera, a boulevard. Yeah, a boulevard which is 16 amos wide in each direction. The truth is, now that I think about it, you probably don't need to go to Ocean Parkway in order to find 16 amos width. 16 amos let's say, is about, let's say, 30 feet or 35 feet. I was trying to think. Yeah, you don't have to go to a boulevard to find that width. Anyway, he says, HaDerech Eina Mukefes Mechitzos. And then he adds another stipulation. He says, Yesh Be'ir Shishim Ribui Bnei Adam. So the city has a population of 600,000. Okay, and now the city itself, Eina Mukefes Choma. There's no wall that surrounds the city. So the city is an open city. He says, "Imi mukefes choma tzarch reshus aram ta'avar beir mitchilosa lesofa bekav yashar usharel mechuvanim ze mulze." This is Rashi Hadiva Maskel reshus aram. So this is, these are complicated halachas here about a city that is surrounded by a wall, and you could still have a reshus aravim. If that Rishus HaRabim takes you from the beginning of the city to the end of the city in one straight line. Again, we'd have to know more about Rishus HaRabim to appreciate this. So in any event, we have an open area between the two houses that is 16 amos wide. It's not surrounded by mechitzas, and it's in a city that has a population of 600,000. He says the following. Yesh la hakshos. He says, L'rashi shebir shebiduba b'shusaram gemura sherechava sheshesrei ama eich moil tikun shalechi v'kora l'tanakama ula beis hillel. Right, so the Tanakhama here of this price said, Osu Tzuris HaPesach Mikan, V'lechi Mikor Mikan. Basil says, Osu Delos Mikan, V'lechi Vikora Mikan. Halo Shanina V'mishna, Shalechi Vikora Enamo Ilim, L'Pesach HaRochuv Yoser Me Eser Amos. Ah, he's asking a different question. Remember, we had a, just like we had a, you know, different minimum sizes of the rochav of the mavui. Like, for example, for tfachim. So we also had a maximum opening into the mavui, and that was up to but not beyond eser amos. Now, according to Rashi, the area, the distance between the two rows of houses is 16 amos. So that could not be a mavui. And therefore we don't understand how the Tanakhama and Beis Hillel could accept a lechi. What's Shaychus a lechi? Lechi is appropriate for a mavui. But if the width of the mavui is more than 10 amos, then it's not a mavui. So Tosis Dibra Maschil Vilechi. I think that's the next to last Tosus on the Amud. Tirtzu Shakavona Kan Shiyasa Lechi Rachav. It's a wide Lechi. Be Ofen Shiyamait Es Rochava Pesach Lefachot Lepochos Me Eser Amos. So if I understand correctly, he's saying that the lechi here has to be 6 amos wide. 6 and a mashu, I guess. So what you're left with after the lechi is a rochav of less than 10 amos. Again, that takes us back to the other sugya, which has to do with Omed Meruva Laporitz. But he was saying, like Ravashi, if I remember, that even if it's Poritz Meruva La Omed, it could still be matir the movi midin lechi. And the only exclusion was when you had eser amos and you had a lechi abolate midofio five amos. You had five and five. But if you had a lechi that was more than five, then you could say omeid merubal aparetz. And if you had it less than five, we said it was a lechi. So here the lechi will close the area by, let's say, by six amos, correct? Because again, we have to get a mavui which is less than 16 amos, which is less than 10 amos wide. And he's got at least a width of 16 amos. Okay, that's number one. So now let's see the Gemara's kasha. Rishus harabim vima arva. Can you be matir tiltul in a rishus harabim and make a tikkun on a rishus harabim? Is that really feasible? He says, "Bitosis bepiske arid biar kusha sagemarahi al tanakama shehitir li arev es rishus harabim bitzuras av pesach ubelechi v'chein al chananya lefi beis hillel sheitiru bidalsos v'lechi." All right. Just one second. Alright. Vatanya, we learned in a brisa. He tells you here it's a Tosefta. Sherishus Arabim Mikura Mutal Taltil Tachtea Bishabs. So this is a Mishnah later on, Adaf Tzadi Hei. And what you have is, you have two houses on two sides of Rishus HaRabim. One is exactly, corresponds to the other. And he builds a roof on top of the Rishus HaRabim that connects these two batim. So that's going to be a Mishnah later on. And or he has a gesher, he has a bridge that connects the top of these two houses over the Rishus HaRabim. Right? What's that called in highways? An overpass or something like that?
Yes.
So he says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Chelek Rishus HaRabim over tachas ha'aliyah o ha'gesher muta v'tilta b'shabbos. Kevin Sha'omrim P. Tikra Yorid Visose. The Omer al Kacha Braisa, Yeser al Kain, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Af Sheba Ofen, Ba Ofen Sha'ain Lomer P. Tikra Yorid Visose, Kayemes F. Shores Tosefes Lahatir Tiltu Shusarab Menchnea Batim, Ahainu, top of Dafav Amid Beis, Misha Hoyelo Shnei Batim Mishnei Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. So again, he's got two houses that face each other with Rishus HaRabim down the middle. And now we have two mechitzos that surround this Rishus HaRabim, because the facade of each house serves as a mechitza. So the area in between the two houses is closed off by two mechitzos. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that two mechitzos create a Rishus HaYochit. Now, Midrabbanan, we need a tikkun to be matir, to take something from one house to the other house. It's Osa Lechi Mikan, V'Lechi Mikan, Okora Mikan, V'Kora Mikan, V'Nosein, V'Nosein V'Emtza. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you put two lechis, or alternately two koros, and here we have two pictures, one of two lechis and the other of two koros, is then you're allowed to carry from one house to the other house. Omru lo, and the Chacham say to Rabbi Yehuda, Ein ma'arvim rishus harabim b'kach. Because again, according to the Chachamim, two mechitzos did not create a Rishus HaRabin. I'm sorry. Scratch that. Two mechitzos did not create a Rishus HaYochid. So the area between the two houses, according to Chachamim, retains its status as a Rishus HaRabin. And therefore, a lechi mikan is not going to help you to be matir a tiltul from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabin. I mean, the whole institution of a lechi is a rabbinic institution of a heker, but on a doraisa level, you're carrying from your house into Rosh Hashanah. He says, "Kevon sheyesh bo rak shtei mechitzos, Rosh Hashanah yochid tzarch shiyu o shalosh mechitzos gemuros, is arei deladas hakol, ein takon Rosh Hashanah belechi vekora lahatibo tiltu." So how do we understand the shita of the Tanakama and Beis Hillel? How could you be matir such a thing? And that's where we're going to have to stop for today. So I think we made a lot of progress, Baruch Hashem, and we have a picture of what's going on here with the help of our various translations. Okay then. So, I'll wish you gentlemen a very good day.
Thank you, you too.
Hope to see you tomorrow. And what do we have here? We have Shabbos B'Iyun, am I correct? Put times here.